Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, it's Tuesday. We've lost a day, no question about that. Now, we're living in a new Salem witch trial situation. We heard about McCarthyism. The left talks about McCarthyism. The left talks about blacklists. But we have a new specialty in America, which is sexual accusations that are probably unfounded. Second banker and hotel sex bust all over the New York papers. Another international money man has been busted for sexually assaulting a maid at a luxury Manhattan hotel, cops said last night. Mahmoud Abdel Salam Omar, the 74-year-old former chairman of Egypt's Bank of Alexandria, allegedly groped and gyrated against a maid in room 1027 at the Pierre Hotel on Fifth Avenue, a law enforcement source told the Post. Immediately he was arrested. NYPD detectives being part of the new witch hunt, new part of the new Salem witch trial. We heard when it happened to the Frenchman, we heard from a maid in the hotel that a lot of this is made up. She told us that a lot of these women wait for such situations to make up such cases. And yet it doesn't stop the NYPD and other cops from frog marching the accused without any evidence whatsoever. Now, the terror of false accusations is a topic that should concern all of us, because today it's some rich banker, tomorrow it is you. And I want to talk about falsely accused and falsely revered people in the America and the world today. Do you actually believe the latest allegations? Do you have any way to believe it or not? It's tied in a way to Representative Anthony Weiner and Weinergate, which it's been called. Allegedly, he says he didn't do it. Someone invaded his Twitter account and sent a picture of his crotch and underwear, whatever. And Anthony Weiner is denying he did it. Is he falsely accused, Anthony Weiner? I do know that a Republican congressman was forced to resign simply for sending pictures of his bare chest. He resigned within, what, an hour or two? And yet Weiner won't even answer questions on this issue. We don't know whether he's guilty or he's the target of a, let us say, a smear campaign. But we have to go even to CNN, which is following the Weinergate case. Let's listen to clip 8.
We know that the congressman is saying that he was hacked and that we should take his word for it. And conservative bloggers are trying to build a case suggesting not so fast.
It came from Congressman Anthony Weiner's Twitter account over the weekend, a photo of an anonymous man's bulging underwear. The lewd picture, immediately deleted from Weiner's account, was sent to this 21-year-old Seattle college student, but also available to the public to view on Twitter.
All right, now let's see the next one. Go ahead.
I was hacked. It happens to people. You move on. This is a prank, not a terribly creative one, and it's a distraction. Look, you know, you've got the Republicans who are playing games with the debt limit. You've got a Supreme Court justice who is refusing to recuse himself despite conflicts of interest. You have a health care act that is under siege. You know, this is a distraction.
So we have a hack congressman, whatever he is. He's a congressman, isn't he? I think he's a congressman. Now, Congressman Weiner, as you well know, is a hack. There's no question about it. He's a left-wing hack. He has never said anything original in his life. And whether he was hacked is another question. We know he's a hack. That's a given. That we don't have to discuss. But now he's trying to take the fact that he claims that his Twitter account was hacked and swing it around to Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Once again, they're trying to lynch Clarence Thomas electronically. It's interesting it's coming from this hack. Then they're talking about a health care act under siege, when we know the health care act was a siege upon the American middle class. And then he has the nerve, the congressman, to say that the Republicans are playing with the debt limit when we know that he and the congressman that he works with, like Nancy Pelosi, destroyed the U.S. economy with their crazed spending in order to make sure that the crony capitalism that they live on would continue to thrive. But I want to go back to the falsely accused or the falsely revered in our society. And I want to ask you, because there's an awful lot of false accusations flying around in this country. There was an interesting article I saw by, of all people, a man I've always detested. He used to give me the creeps. He made my flesh crawl. Whenever I used to see him during the Clinton years, I would shut the television off. One of the most despicable human beings on the planet, I thought, Lanny Davis. Now Lanny Davis writes an article that I actually find interesting entitled The Shameful Case of Sean Lanigan and the Presumption of Guilt Culture. It's a fabulous article. And he writes it like this. He says, I have written before about the dangers of our culture of the presumption of guilt, in which accusations and indictments are believed by people to be verdicts. He said, I warned about this 2 years ago when the late Senator Ted Stevens was indicted, and before his conviction was overturned due to corrupt and dishonest misconduct by federal prosecutors. You understand this? Now, thanks to a front-page story in the Washington Post, we know perhaps the most horrible example of the consequences of this assumption of guilt, not only before trial, but continuing beyond acquittal. And it is the shameful case of Sean Lanigan. You see, Lanigan was a Fairfax County physical ed teacher, falsely accused by a 12-year-old girl of being a child molester. The child accuser got her girlfriend to corroborate her charge. Then at a preliminary hearing preceding an indictment, they both admitted to lying about it. If not the key element of the case, but proving once again there is a God of justice in heaven, the jury in the case acquitted Lanigan in 47 minutes, according to the Washington Post, quote, virtually unheard of in a child sex abuse case. The jurors, the Post wrote, were so outraged at the lack of evidence, with one weeping in sympathy with Lanigan during closing arguments. Yet the Fairfax County School District has not only refused to pay all of Lanigan's legal fees, it continues to treat him as if he were guilty. And then he goes on to nominate certain individuals by name in what should be called the Fairfax County Law Enforcement System Hall of Shame. And this is a very, very important thing for you to hear. First and foremost, Nicole Christian, the lead detective whose flawed and biased investigation was centrally responsible for the false charges being filed against Lanigan. She has not been fired. She has not been prosecuted for perjury. Why not? The next villain is Fairfax Commonwealth Attorney Raymond Moreau, who pressed the case and obtained an indictment even after the two girls recanted prior testimony. And he says, why isn't Moreau, M-O-R-R-O-G-H, embarrassed and publicly apologizing? Why hasn't he resigned? The Fairfax County Police Department, which chose to put out a press release and mugshot of Lanigan, and now declines to comment to the head to the Post, much less apologize to the falsely accused Lanigan. The head of the Fairfax County School District, who is he? His name is never mentioned in the Post story. He or she or one of his or her underlings continues to hound Mr. Lanigan, treating him as if he'd been found guilty, and they refuse to pay all his legal fees and take responsibility for this gross injustice. And he goes on. There are many, many others. And he says, what about the two minors who caused this tragedy more than anyone else? He says, I respect the Post policy not to name them because they're minors. But I wonder what, well, let me explain something. Viruses are minors, too. A bacteria is a minor also. It doesn't live more than a few hours and it can kill you. But he goes on. He says, but I wonder whether they would learn a much more profound lesson if their parents forced them to take public responsibility and issue a public apology. You get the drift, don't you? We have false accusations in America today at an epidemic level. What we have in America today is the equivalent of the Salem witch trial. However, the accused today are almost entirely white males of middle or upper class, let us say, status. These are the new witches in America. White males, almost exclusively the victims of false accusations. So having laid the groundwork for that, I'm going to ask you some questions on the Savage Nation. Do you know of anyone who has been falsely accused of sexual harassment or something that would destroy their reputation? Is it possible to rebuild your reputation in a case like this? Do you think this new maid story, Do you think she actually saw what came of the other maid, and now she's looking for her own golden parachute? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's begin with the first caller out of Texas. Let's go to Houston. Ross, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Well, I just want to say about Anthony Weiner, first of all, I don't believe that a hacker did it. It's definitely him, and he took it off quick enough. Obviously, now, you have to know that if you put it up there to be able to take it off that quickly. I mean, let's say you put it up, and then 5 minutes later, you took it down. I mean, it takes a while before you find out that.
Well, let's start with Anthony Weiner, the Weinergate story. It's interesting. Okay, it's a picture of a guy's crotch in underwear without getting, you know, into the Howard Stern level of stupidity. Why would he post such a picture? What man would do that?
Well, that's the thing. So you have these, these mental disorders where they, perverts, basically, you have all these people. I honestly don't know why.
Wait a minute. Why would a congressman post a picture of his crotch to begin with? Who would do that? Let's assume I hate his politics because he's a stooge and a hack, which he is. He's nothing but a loudmouth liberal from Brooklyn. Everything that comes out of his mouth is predictable. But so what? It doesn't mean that he would post a picture of his crotch.
That's true. That's true. But I mean,
you may hate his politics, but let's not suddenly become like those who are accusing me of saying things I never said and ban me from England. I mean, give the man a trial, for God's sakes. What bothers me, though, is that a Republican congressman was forced to resign within a few hours of a photo of him bare-chested. But it was him, and it was his bare chest, and he did admit to posting it. But with Weinergate, Anthony refuses to even discuss it with the media, and even CNN is getting a little nervous about it. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. If you care to talk about the falsely accused stories in your own life, I'd like to hear them on the Savage Nation. I think maybe others would like to hear them as well. And before very long, I'm going to shock you with a story I found just before airtime that you're not going to believe. You're talking about falsely accused, correct? Well, how about false reverence? It turns out that there's a Chinese internet generation, there's a billion 300 million Chinese. So what's the internet generation? 500 million, 400 million, 300 million? Apparently, there is a growing trend in the Chinese blogosphere to glorify Hitler. They praise Hitler. In fact, a rumor is spreading throughout China, which asserts that Austrian-born Hitler was raised by a family of Chinese expats living in Vienna. Of course, it's false. The fact of the matter is, Hitler is being revered by the young Chinese. Does that worry you? I'll be right back.
Look, I'm not going to talk about this anymore. You know, I think that if I was giving a speech to 45,000 people and someone stood up and heckled in the back, I wouldn't spend 3 days talking to him. I'm going to get back to the conversation I care about.
Why did you hire a lawyer? Why not let law enforcement just handle this?
You know, I put out a couple of statements over the last couple of days. I would refer you to those. They answer these questions, and I understand you're doing your job, but I'm going to go back to work now.
That's Anthony Weiner of Weinergate dodging questions about Weinergate. And I'm saying, first of all, I don't believe that he would do it, anything as silly as this. That's number one. And then we go on to the bigger issue of the falsely accused in our society. And I've given you some examples. And then I've asked on the show, do you have examples of falsely accused people? And I am telling you, we have the equivalent of the Salem witch trials going on in America, with middle class and upper middle class and rich white men being the new witches. Now, you may not know what the witch trials were, but the Salem witch trials occurred in colonial Massachusetts between 1692 and 1693, short period of time. More than 200 people were accused of practicing witchcraft, and 20 were executed. Eventually, the colony admitted the trials were a mistake and compensated the families of those convicted. Since then, the story of the trials has become synonymous with what? Paranoia and injustice. Paranoia and injustice. And the fact of the matter is, paranoia and injustice now rule the United States of America. And as a victim of paranoia and injustice, myself, with regard to being banned in England, I have to tell you, I don't like this thing going on with Wiener. I detest his politics, but I don't think even a man as psychotically liberal as he would stoop to the level of sending a picture of himself in boxer shorts. I'd rather not talk about him. I'd like to ask you if you know of anyone falsely accused and you want to tell us about it on the Savage Nation. Frank, in New York City on WOR, go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, let me tell you, this has been going on for years. How about divorce court? Let me tell you, in the middle of divorce, my ex-wife says, you're going to do A, B, C, or I'll make an accusation that you molested your kid. So guess what, Dr. Savage? What are you doing, self? I'm not a millionaire. I want to see my kids.
Wait, you're saying that your wife's lawyer said that to you, that unless you agree to certain terms, they'll accuse you of having molested your children?
No, my ex-wife said this. This is a game they play in divorce court.
No, I heard about this. I heard that the child molestation accusations are, frankly, part and parcel of many divorce proceedings now.
So what do you do? You're a middle-class guy. You got a little money that you're spending in the country. So you eat it. She said, okay, I got a total line. Boom, boom, boom. I wound up losing everything and stuff. And maybe I should have fought. Maybe I should have said, go ahead and make the false accusation.
No, don't you understand? It's like the witch trials. You can't win. What are you? It's like saying, when did you stop beating your wife? Or have you stopped beating your wife? No matter how you answer it, you're guilty.
So what's the remedy to this? Because this goes on. Well,
I don't have a remedy other than to indict lawyers who do this. Once a person is found innocent, those who brought the charges should be tried for the same charges. I said that during the Durham Dirtbags trial. Remember that dirtbag stripper who said that the boys in the Durham, I forget the team, the lacrosse team, raped her in the bathroom? Well, it turned out that she made the whole thing up. I said that within a few days of it. I saw right through her lies. But I wanted to know why she was not indicted for these false accusations. That's what you do to put an end to it. You indict her. You indict the police who go after people falsely. You indict prosecutors who you find out were doing it simply to advance their careers. That's what you do to stop it. They have to pay the penalty. You get them on the same charges they want to put on your back. And that would put an end to this kind of stuff, in my opinion. Have you been falsely accused? Is it interesting enough for the country to hear about? Give us a ring.
Savage.
So we're talking about false accusations, the Salem witch trials, the fact that 300 years after the Salem witch trials, paranoia and injustice reign in the United States of America, practiced by lawyers, prosecutors, police departments, and it falls primarily upon white males. They are the new victims of the Salem witch trials. All someone has to do is accuse you, and your life is over. Even if you're found innocent, it's over. So now we have the strange case of Wienergate, where Representative Anthony Wiener retains lawyer amid frenzy over lewd Twitter photo. He says he didn't do it. He refuses to say whether or not it was his crotch and underwear in the photo. He says that he didn't say he's a hack. That would have been the first honest thing he ever said, which is, I am a hack. I'm a liberal hack, simply doing it for votes. Instead, he said, I was hacked. Okay. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know anything about it. I would assume that anyone with the intelligence of Andrew Wiener, as hacky as he is, would not have done it. So I would vote that he's innocent. Now, when did this start in a big way in America? It started with Congresswoman Representative Patricia Schroeder. When I first started in radio in the mid-90s, she brought false accusations against men in the United States Naval Air Corps, and she made up a thing about a tailhook incident in elevators in a Washington, D.C. hotel. Her entire goal was to make sure that males were driven out of the naval aviation community in order to make it more convenient for less qualified people to fly. She targeted the U.S. military. She targeted specifically perhaps those with the most skills in the U.S. military, Schroeder did, in my estimation. And many careers were destroyed, and many men left the military as a result of her. We now come back to today, and it doesn't end. It's just beginning. So I've asked you if you've lost careers or you've been falsely accused. How has this happened in this country? New York, Bill, WOR, your story, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, I spent 5 years in prison on a verbal accusation after losing I won the divorce case. My wife got nothing, and they accused me of child molestation. I had a liberal judge. This was in another city. I would even give her name. She's on record saying that every male in that county, if they get before her court, would get a number. And, of course, in the system, they've got it so corrupt, you cannot cross-examine a child witness, not allowed to bring character references, no witnesses, and how do you prove a negative? Prove you didn't do something.
No, that's what happens in a fascist state. That's what the British just did to me. They said, prove that you didn't say these things and prove that you no longer believe these things we said you said. That's what happens in a fascist dictatorship. And that's why I'm worried about it. We are becoming more increasingly like the ex-Soviet Union. There's more freedom in Russia today in some areas than there is in America, especially with regard to construction and business. America is rapidly descending into the ex-Soviet Union in so many ways. Obama, when he runs for office, says he's going to eliminate the Patriot Act. And the other day, he re-signs the Patriot Act, which permits the federal government to spy upon all of us. It's a very dangerous trend. And so now we're talking about things like this. Who accused you of this child molestation?
Oh, it was my ex-wife who I found had a female.
No, but wait, no, excuse me. Who did she say you molested?
Her best friend, her female lover's kid.
Oh, your ex-wife ran off with another woman?
No, it was doing it while we were married.
So she then used the cabal of witches that she belonged to get you and destroy you?
Right. She tried to get my house, my retirement, my pension.
If this was an individual story, I wouldn't be listening to you, but I hear it over and over again of a cabal of judges and lawyers and witches who are, frankly, castrating men and stealing all of their possessions on false child molestation accusations. And I think it's very important to talk about it today on the show. With regard to Wienergate, I don't really know I don't know. Why would a guy do a thing like this? It doesn't make any sense to me, truthfully. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Jason in Mississippi for his story. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Savage. I am active duty military. 15 years in, about a year ago, I was falsely accused of marijuana use. Full court martial. Had to hire a civilian lawyer. Cost me about $27,000, which is probably about 80% of my annual income to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty much, I dedicate my life 15 years.
Who accused you of using dope? Was it someone who wanted to move over you in the chain of command?
No, sir. It was a false UA. The UA came back positive for THC.
Hold on. I understand. Your urine analysis came back false positive. And did you discover what it is that you ingested that produced the false positive?
I ingested nothing. I'm on a medication that would show up as a amphetamine. That particular UA had no trace of an amphetamine in it, but the three after the positive UA showed high doses of amphetamine, which it would flag, but they would look at my medications. And,
yes, but there are herbal medication or herbal products that do mimic THC in urine analysis. You know that, don't you?
Yes, sir. And
and there are even some food products that can trigger a false positive with THC. People should be aware of this. So your lawyer, how'd your lawyer get you off?
Well, to be honest with you, sir, I think the evidence was in black and white that the test that showed positive for THC showed no amphetamine in it, and the three after showed amphetamine and no THC.
Who paid your legal bills? Nobody. Even the false report didn't result in the government saying we're going to reimburse you for the expense you had to engage in to defend your name and your career. They didn't then say we're sorry?
No, sir.
Well, there you go. That's the Soviet Union in the United States of America today. Now, I have helped people in the military falsely accused by George Bush's administration, now the Obama administration. I have sent personal money. I've raised money for people in the military. And you know why I did it? Because I don't like underdogs. I don't like people falsely accused. And on Memorial Day, I was not invited to one military event in the United States of America. So you say, well, that's terrible. How come somebody in the Marine Corps didn't call you up and say, Savage, we respect what you have done for us. We'd like you to speak. Or at least there's a ticket to the Marine Corps event that this camp or at that cemetery. Not one invitation. So you say, well, did I get embittered? Did I get angry? No, but I note it for one reason. And the reason is that you have to do what's right in this world because you're never going to get rewarded for doing the right thing. Most likely you'll just get castigated for doing the wrong thing, whether it's true or not. Okay? Let's go back to the callers on the Savage Nation. Virginia, Jeff, your story, please.
How you doing, Dr. Savage? When I was in college, I used to work at a bar. I worked the door at a bar. And a girl accused me of sexually assaulting her because I didn't let her in underage. Mm-hmm. It got all the way to the point to where the cops pulled me out of my house when my fiance was there.
Oh my God! How did you get off the charge?
Her roommate turned around when the cops investigated and admitted that she had made up accusations because she was upset that I wouldn't let her drink underage in the bar.
But here's what I want to know: is what kind of system is it that lets lying witches like this make accusations, and then when they're found to be liars, they are not prosecuted to the full extent of the law with the exact same charges they were trying to bring against you with the exact same possible penalty? You could have gone to jail for 3 to 5 years for that charge.
Well, I even had to go back because they didn't charge her anything. And then when I started applying for jobs, a couple said that they couldn't hire me because I was accused of sexual assault. So I'd go back to the city of Norfolk and say, I need you to charge this lady for false allegations.
And did they?
Oh, they did, but only after I had to hire lawyers to get them to do it.
Okay, wait a minute. So they did charge her with false allegations, and what happened? The case was dismissed downstream, or you never followed it?
No. The case was let go because she made an apology in front of an extremely liberal judge.
Oh, isn't that nice? I'm sorry. I meant to destroy this man's life, but I got caught, so I'm sorry?
Yeah, basically.
Horrible. Well, there, you know, listen, we're going back now to what I said at the beginning, which is the Salem witch trials in the United States of America are alive and well. And the targets are white males. Almost 90% or more of those falsely accused are white males, primarily white males with something somebody wants. You have another case now in New York of another so-called rich banker molesting or touching or groping or gyrating another poor victim maid, when we know that many of these maids saw what happened with Frenchie and they're looking for the payday. And he is innocent until proven guilty. Or would you rather live in the Soviet Union where he is guilty until he proves himself innocent to the charges, while the maid can hide behind, oh, I'm so injured by his touching me that I can't ever be exposed by name or by picture. Let me hide behind my shyster lawyer from Brooklyn. Huh? Which country do you want to live in? New York City, WOR. Mark, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, a little bit on Wienergate. What if he's having an affair and he decides to take a picture of his crotch, and he's thinking he's sending it to his girlfriend, and he sends it to everybody. And I've seen this before with technology. Technology takes over. Everybody's hit reply all when they meant to hit reply or forward it. So maybe that's the case, and it'll come out later.
It says the congressman made it a point to tweet what time an East Coast interview would be shown in Seattle where the young lady's from. That's a fact, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed.
So are you alleging that he sent it to this girl, Jeanette Nicole Cordova, because he knew her and he wanted to impress her with his anatomy?
That's exactly right. That's what I'm suggesting. And you watch. Otherwise, think about it. Why does he come out so quickly and say someone hacked his account? Really? If someone hacked your account, wouldn't you be more interested in who hacked your account than what was sent? And he's trying to forget about it to cover it up already. There should be an investigation into who hacked his account and why. Come on.
Well, we know he's a hack. We know that Wiener is a liberal hack who will say anything to promote the communist socialist agenda. But truthfully, I don't believe even a hack like he would send a picture of his private parts and underwear. I don't believe he would do this. Why would he do a thing like that?
I don't think he would do it intentionally. Again, and watch this thing come out a little bit later on.
No. Even to a potential girlfriend. What man in his right mind would do this to himself?
Well, that's exactly right. And someone that would do that would not be in their right mind. And who would know? We will never know for sure then. I guess that's the case.
Well, we know that liberalism, extreme liberalism, is a mental disorder. That's a given. But it doesn't mean that everyone who's mentally disordered suffers from perversion.
You're right there. You're right. But let's face it.
Let's not generically categorize every liberal as being somewhat sexually perverted. The man is a liberal. Therefore, by definition, he's mentally ill in that liberalism is self-destructive and destructive of the nation. But on the other hand, I can't imagine a man as brilliant as Wiener would send a picture of his crotch. I just frankly have to say he's innocent until proven guilty. What bothers me slightly is that the Republican congressman, whose name I forget, from upstate New York, resigned within an hour of a picture of himself having been sent, I think, on a Twitter account, but it was him and his chest. In this case, there was a disembodied crotch shot, so you cannot say that this picture belongs to him. So therefore, he probably would slip out of the noose. You know what I'm saying? All right, you want to talk about this, or you want to talk about how about the other side of it? We could go to the big news story today, or the stuff that somebody like with blackboards with an IQ below 100 would make into a story, which is about You Betcha. We could talk about You Betcha dining with Donald Trump tonight, but what's the story in that? That would be good for somebody who only talks about Rick Santorum or Rudy Giuliani as a Republican candidate. So big deal, You Betcha's dining with Trump. I mean, what's it going to be, a Trump You Betcha ticket or a You Betcha Trump ticket? In either case, they're throwing in the towel for Obama. So I've covered that one. Let's go back to the salacious stuff. 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Can you tell us why you were following a 21-year-old college student?
I appreciate the questions, but I understand you're doing your job, but this is now a couple of days later. I've got to finally get back to work and focus on things I want to focus on.
Right, which is lying about the economy and lying about Obamacare and lying about everything else. Nevertheless, I think Wienergate is obviously off the track. To the first caller from WTNT in Washington, D.C., a free Spanish cucumber. First caller from WTNT in Washington will get a free Spanish cucumber. Apparently, they are now banned across Asia, but we can get our hands on as many of them and give them away here on the Savage Nation. Tom on WTNT, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I heard your broadcast about individuals who've been falsely accused of child sexual abuse. I'm an attorney in the Washington, D.C. area, and my entire practice is dedicated to representing individuals who've been falsely accused. And I do that.
Oh, my God. Well, that must be an amazing book of horrible lives that have been ruined by this. How do you defend against such witch trial cases?
There have been a number of very notable witch trial cases, like the Emerald case in up in Massachusetts.
Oh, yes, that was the worst. They went away for how many years?
Violet Emerald was only released from prison just for a very short period of time before she died of cancer. And her son, Gerald, stayed in prison, you know, a couple of years longer than that. But
And these were people who ran a school, and they were falsely accused of having a magic room that never existed, and the children were put on the stand by detectives. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's true.
So what kind of cases do you typically get, Tom?
My specialty is representing people who've been accused by young children, that'd be children under the age of 6, because we know from the psychological literature that children that age can be subject to suggestion. And what we see is, for example, estranged spouses or girlfriends saying to their children, "Didn't daddy do something to you?" And then they're interviewed by social workers who or detectives who have a bias. And then the poor child gets so confused and they start assimilating what they've heard, what's been suggested to them. And then,
well, Tom, how do you defend when you're not allowed to cross-examine a child? Can you put a child 5 years old on the stand?
Since the decision of the United States Supreme Court in the Crawford case, a child has to testify. If a child is complaining they've been abused, they have to testify. But before they would get on the witness stand, competent defense attorneys conduct what they call a competency taint evaluation to determine, number one, if the child is saying something that they actually remember, or if the child is saying what the child has been programmed to talk about.
But unbelievable. Well, so this is an epidemic in America, is it not?
You know that prior to this decision of the Supreme Court, children were able to be talked to in closed rooms by social workers and detectives, and then those individuals were able to repeat what the child said, and the poor defendant, the father, the boyfriend, never had an opportunity to cross-examine the child, but that's all been abolished now. So really the aggressive and competent defense attorneys who realize that children often make statements that are not supported by reality, they conduct these competency taint evaluations, and they bring in mainstream psychologists to testify about the issues of suggestibility. There was a wonderful study. I know you're busy, but let me just tell you about this study.
No, wait, Tom, let me say this. You're doing really valuable work, because I believe there's an epidemic, a sub rosa epidemic of false accusations in this country. Would you agree with my generic statement that the predominant number of individuals falsely accused are white males? Is that a fair assessment in your practice?
Yes.
And would you say that it's generally white males with some property in general?
Actually, not necessarily, because it cuts across all socioeconomic groups. But it's primarily whites. It's primarily males and primarily whites. You're exactly
so
right.
So then would it be fair to conclude that those who have little or no property are being ripped apart for reasons of vendetta, just to destroy them?
Yeah. And not only that, the people that don't have the money and the right resources to hire competent counsel to get defended, if you get convicted of a child sexual abuse, you're going to go to jail. Number two, you're going to be on the sexual registry for the rest of your life.
Oh, my God. Well, the Salem witch trials are alive and well in the United States of America. You can thank Congresswoman Patricia Schroeder, in my opinion.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Look, I'm not going to talk about this anymore. You know, I think that if I was giving a speech to 45,000 people and someone stood up and heckled in the back, I wouldn't spend 3 days talking to him. I'm going to get back to the conversation I care about.
Why did you hire a lawyer? Why not let law enforcement just handle this if it's affecting?
You know, I put out a couple of statements over the last couple of days. I would refer you to those. They answer these questions, and I understand you're doing your job, but I'm going to go back to work now.
That's Representative Anthony Weiner, who is dodging questions about Wienergate, and I personally think that no one in their right mind would do what he's accused of doing. However, I have to remind you that there has been an example of something along this line. John Lee was an American representative for New York's 26th congressional district, and he was drummed out of office because he sent a picture of himself on his BlackBerry phone, of a shirtless photo of himself, to a woman who claimed to be a 39-year-old divorce lobbyist. He claimed to be a 39-year-old divorce lobbyist, but he used his real name. He used a Google Gmail account to send this woman a shirtless photo taken with his BlackBerry phone. Nothing lewd, no crotch shots. The female recipient searched his name, discovered he was a married congressman, turned over her email correspondence to a New York muckraking website, and that was the end of the story for Lee. So the question is, why is Wienergate not in the same category? The answer is because libs control the media. So from that story, we went to a more generic discussion on the Savage Nation, which is about falsely accused people in the United States of America. And I have alleged that ever since Tailhook, which was completely trumped up by Congresswoman Representative Pat Schroeder to destroy the U.S. Naval Aviation Corps. She didn't succeed, thank God. There have been there's been a field day of false accusations. And we've been hearing about cases on the show in the first hour of people who tell us that if you're going through a divorce trial, the lawyer for your wife will often say that unless you give us what you want, we're going to accuse you of child molestation. We've had men call who say they were put in jail or almost put in jail by women falsely accusing them. And, of course, there's a case of the Frenchman and now a new case in New York of another rich banker accused of groping and gyrating against some maid. It's a Salem witch trial all over again. It's worse than McCarthyism because McCarthy was right. There were communists in high places. How many innocent lives have been destroyed by the feminist movement and by greedy, aggressive prosecutors and police? We don't know. Joining us now is an attorney in Washington, D.C., Thomas A. Pavlinek, who specializes in defending the falsely accused. Mr. Pavlinek, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be back. It's an important message that you're sending, and it's the passion of my life. That's all I do. My practice is limited to representing people who've been falsely accused. And my practice gets sometimes 20 to 25 calls a day through our website from people across the country reaching out to us for help. That's a staggering amount.
Thomas, I don't think you can hear me, but give us your website.
My website is Premier Defense Group, P-R-E-M-I-E-R, Premier Defense Group, www.premierdefensegroup.com.
.com,
that's correct.
All right, so give us the next big case of a man falsely accused and how you defended him, please.
Yeah, it comes right to mind. I represented a school psychologist out of Pittsburgh, Allegheny County, and he was accused by his adopted son of multiple rapes. And the rapes were supposed to have gone on for 7 years. And when the case went to trial, there was no medical evidence to support anything that was said, nothing. And this young man had gone to court numerous times complaining about other problems that he was having with people, and he didn't bring these allegations against his stepfather until his stepfather got tired of bailing him out of jail and getting lawyers for him and finally said to him, you know, son, you're on your own. And he went in to the police when he was 22 years of age and said his father had been sexually abusing him from ages 9 to 17, and he was making those allegations 13 years later.
So how did you defend this case?
Pardon me?
Thomas, wait, stop. Listen, how did you defend this case?
How did I defend it? Well, we brought in a top-notch gastroenterologist from Washington, D.C., Ken Brown, to come to Pittsburgh to testify as many times as this young man said, 600 times, he would have had all of these medical problems. And there were no medical problems. In addition to that, the client had his own children testify that there was none of this abuse took place. Plus, we had pictures and other independent members of the family to establish what a good kid he was all through his high school years. But when the client was arrested in 2003, the trial didn't take place until 2010. The trial lasted 16 days. The jury deliberated for 4 days, and he was found not guilty of all counts. But it bankrupted him, Mike. He lost his position. We're now in the position of getting back his school position, his psychological license. He went bankrupt. It was a very humiliating and depressing time for him, but he had a lot of metal. He fought every step of the way, and I had a really good co-counsel with me, Tim Lucas, who we worked in.
Tom, a couple of questions come to mind, Tom. The boy who made these false accusations, he got off scot-free?
Nothing happened to him. He went back to wherever he was. Nothing happened to him. Nothing.
Okay, so the laws need to be changed, number one. But the victims' rights mafia will never permit victims who falsely accuse individuals of ever being accountable because they will claim that that will put a damper on them coming forward. And they'll be afraid to make such a statement. And American jurisprudence doesn't permit that. I know what's going to come from this. Now, one other question. Why did the case take 7 years to come to trial?
It's very unusual, and that's a very good question. Pennsylvania has what they call interlocutory appeals, and there was an evidentiary point which the trial judge ruled in our favor, and the Commonwealth asked that it be appealed. And that appeal took 2 years. And in addition, another reason was that the child's natural mother, who was married to my client, initially was accused by her son of the same, you know, grotesque act, and she denied it. And this is probably one of the most perversions of justice. On the day we were supposed to go to trial, the prosecution gave her the ability to take a plea to endangering the welfare of the children, a child, and get a suspended sentence, no jail time, if she would testify against her husband. And then we had that delayed the case another year, and even though the wife testified against her husband, the jury saw right through that because she had real mental and emotional problems. And
my God, what a mess. So we're living in a witch hunt age where any child, anyone really can accuse anybody of anything, really, is what it comes down to. And so how you defend yourself against this is an interesting story. You can do so, but your life is ruined anyway.
Well, you know, what are the police going to do? There's no evidence. But the evidence comes from just somebody saying it. That's what's so frustrating to us to defend these type of cases, because all you have to do is say it. And then you could be arrested. You could lose your job, your security clearance. If you're not a U.S. citizen, you're going to be deported automatically. It doesn't make any difference what your family circumstances are. If you get convicted of a sex crime in the United States of America and you are not a U.S. citizen, you're gone. There's no way that you're going to be able to prevent yourself.
All right, so let's take it back to the case of the rich Frenchman, the IMF guy. Does he have an easy or a very difficult case to prove of his innocence?
Well, his case is a little bit different, Mike, because that's an allegation being made by an adult.
Yes.
And it would have to, whether or not there would be any DNA evidence. Now, I mean, I'm just following what I hear in the press. If they're trying to say that there's some DNA evidence, it's hard for me to comment on that because I'm one of the few people that still believes in the presumption of innocence. Until somebody comes forth and says, here's the evidence, and this is evidence beyond a reasonable doubt, I'm assuming that this man is innocent. He would then have to be proven guilty. And if there were some DNA evidence, for example, that she said something on an article of her clothing, and they find that, then that would be evidence that would tilt in favor of the prosecution.
But wait a minute. It still wouldn't. It's from my point of view as a layman, even if his DNA in the form of semen was found on any article of her clothing, it still wouldn't indicate that he raped her. It could have been consensual. She could have agreed to perform a sex act with him for money and then, of course, used that to induce him and then turned on him simply for personal gain. Why can't we assume that she did that?
Well, that's a theory that would have to be developed by his attorneys after they look at all the evidence. And
I understand his defense attorneys, I think it's Bronfman and others, are actually looking at her life back in Guyana. Or Guinea, rather, in Africa, meaning she's a devout Muslim here, but we don't know what she was there. And so, therefore, they're trying to find out if this woman had a sordid life that might indicate behavior other than what she's proposing here. Again, this is a very frightening situation that a man can find himself in, is it not?
Yes, it is. One thing that he has going for him is that he has the financial resources to hire competent counsel who can do that. Just think of the poor guy that's a laborer, a carpenter, or a house painter, making maybe $35,000-$40,000 a year, and he's got a family to support. He gets accused. What does that poor soul do? He doesn't have the money to do that type of thing. So he has to either get public defender or, you know, an attorney who will take the case on pro bono. How do you get the experts to come in?
But isn't it true that there's a presumption of guilt the minute someone is accused? Are they not immediately castigated by the media?
Yes. That's absolutely correct. In my website, I say that you're presumed guilty. And when you go into the courtroom and you look at the courtroom personnel, how they treat you, and how the whole ambiance of the sheriffs and the bailiffs, they look at you like this guy must be some sort of a pervert. And yes, it's the standard of proof is reversed. You've got to go to court, and you've got to be aggressive in your defense of these people, otherwise they're going to be found guilty. You just can't sit back and hope that they're not going to prove their case. You've got to aggressively, you know, we take these cases, we put 100, 200 hours into the defense of them, and we bring in a team, we do a PowerPoint presentation, because it's my life, it's my passion.
What is it? So this must cost at least a few hundred thousand dollars, correct?
Well, The defenses can run between $50,000 and $100,000, and if you get into stratospheric defenses involving international...
I got to tell you this. You know, Tom, I've been falsely accused in England of being associated with murderers and terrorists. You know that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know that I've spent over $200,000 of my defense fund money, if not more, and I've not even gotten a hearing in England? They refuse to even hear my case. Do you know that? They have completely reversed all of the rules of courts, of the Magna Carta, of freedom of the press, freedom of speech. Everything is upside down. It's Alice in Wonderland. I've spent well over $200,000, and they refuse, this government under Cameron refuses to even acknowledge that I might not be guilty as charged. Would you believe this?
Well, that you're this is the plight of many others who are in that situation, who have spent their life savings and they've gone bankrupt. And I empathize with you because I've seen that happen to my very own clients, not on the same scale, on a lesser scale. Nonetheless, the impact on these people is the same as it has been on you and others like you.
Well, I'm not begging anyone. I'm just saying that these things do cost a lot of money. But if you're dealing with a rigged system, as we have in America, it's rigged against the accused. And in England, they've completely reversed their laws of jurisprudence, where they're now something out of the Salem witch trial age, where you have to prove yourself innocent when they've assumed you are guilty without any trial whatsoever, without any evidence, without any discovery, without even meeting you or hearing from you. They say, Jacques Hughes, it's something out of the ex-Soviet Union. Anyway, your law firm is one of many, several rather, not many in the country, I'd imagine, PremierDefenseGroup.com. All I can say is, Tom, thank you for making this a passion of your life. I'll be right back.
Savage.
New York City police have made an arrest in another alleged instance of sexual abuse of a maid at a Manhattan hotel. This time, the former chairman of one of Egypt's major banks was taken into custody. Police say Mahmoud Abdel Salam Omar was arrested at the upscale Pierre Hotel Monday morning. The 74-year-old businessman is accused of sexually abusing the maid and holding her against her will inside his hotel room. Police spokesman Paul Brown says detectives found the complainant to be credible. The arrest comes just weeks after the arrest of former IMF chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn. He's accused of sexually assaulting a maid at a different New York hotel. Strauss-Kahn is on house arrest awaiting trial.
All right. Is that a false accusation? Is the man innocent until proven guilty? Who is the maid? Why doesn't she come forward? Why is she able to hide behind this fake law of, oh, she's an innocent little victim, a poor little maid, when we know there are con men and con women out there just looking for a meal ticket? We also know that it's very easy to accuse someone and get a settlement without it being real. And we also know that there are real cases of molestation. But I cannot understand why anyone who has money would have to grope some ugly little maid in a hotel room instead of calling a hooker. I mean, let's be very clear. We're adults here. They don't have to grope some maid in the room. Why would they do a thing like this? The whole thing stinks. Now, you say, why did the police find the allegations credible? What does that mean, the allegations are credible? The reason the police have to arrest them is they don't want to get sued. So the booklet that the police carry have the loosest description of what are verifiable allegations, and they have to take them in for fear that the lawyer for the maid will sue the police department for not taking it seriously. So it's all set up against the accused. It's a reversal of our jurisprudence. We are living now in the Salem witch trial era, and the fact of the matter is this has to stop. It's as simple as that. Kelly in Sacramento, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, I was sexually assaulted by my ag teacher up in Oregon, and people were shoving me in lockers and stuff. It totally ruined my life.
Wait a minute, so you were sexually abused by who?
My teacher.
And?
And I went to the police station, and my mom went down there with me to make a report. The next morning, before he even got to class, the cops arrested him, and he called his wife and to go down there and talk with him. And she.
All right, was he found guilty or innocent?
They pled out with me.
Savage.
For the second time this month, a prominent international banker is led away in handcuffs after an alleged sexual assault of a maid at a posh Manhattan hotel. This time, the accused is 74-year-old Mahmoud Abdel Salam Omar, the former chairman of Egypt's Bank of Alexandria.
Did you rape that woman?
Omar was staying here at the upscale Pierre Hotel, where suites run over $1,000 a night. Sources tell ABC News that at approximately 6 p.m. on Sunday, Omar called to have some tissues delivered to his room. A 44-year-old maid claims that when she arrives, Omar, wearing pajamas, asks her to place the tissues on a table inside his room. She alleges Omar then closes the door, locking her in the room, and immediately attacks her, trying to kiss and fondle her. The maid fights off his advances and tells authorities, she says, "I'm not here for that." But Omar allegedly grabs her again, rubbing against her. Then the maid says Omar asks for her phone number. She thinks fast and gives him a false number. Finally, he lets her go.
Oh, please. You tell me that you believe these false accusations just because they come from some downtrodden maid and he's allegedly a rich guy? Don't you understand that this is a racket for a lot of these women? You don't understand this yet? We had a caller on the Savage Nation when this came out with the French guy, and she said she works in hotels, and a lot of these women do it because they're looking for a golden parachute. They're tired of cleaning toilets, in other words. And what, you're going to jump all of a sudden? Every maid is downtrodden and a victim, and every male in the hotel room is a predator. I don't believe it for a minute, frankly. And he's innocent until proven guilty, and I'm sick of listening to these stories. And that's why we're talking about the falsely accused. And we're also talking about Wienergate, because I don't believe that he did this. I believe that he is a hack, and I believe that he is absolutely a liberal hack who stands for everything I detest politically. But I don't think he's that crazy that he sent a picture of his underwear to some girl that he's tweeting with. I just don't believe it. Okay, New York, WOR. Dave, go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I just think all this crap with the IMF guy and Wiener scandal, this is all set up. I mean, these guys don't just throw away their careers and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year that they're making for some slut. I mean, it doesn't happen.
All right, so, and that's your whole call. Wiener is innocent.
Well, he may not be innocent. I mean, I don't really know, but a guy just doesn't do that. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, wait a minute. There was a Republican who allegedly sent a picture of his chest, and he had to resign within an hour because the vermin in the media forced him out. They used the Salem witch trial on him, and he was forced to resign. How come it doesn't apply in this case?
He's a Republican.
Well, it's also because Anthony Weiner's face is not on this, only allegedly a body part. And at that, it's not even, you know, exposed. But, I mean, there is a double standard. We know that. There's actually a triple standard, but that's not the issue. The issue is we're overly sensitive to these issues. That's the issue, by the way. Arkansas, Rachel, you're next up. Your story, please.
Thank you. I just would like to say that I worked in a juvenile facility, and I was falsely accused of having sexual relations with two juveniles. And I had every evidence in the world that I was not guilty of this, from credit card receipts stating that I was out of town during the time that they alleged this happened. Hmm. And I even took a polygraph from the Department of Texas, the same polygrapher that gives the Texas State Troopers their polygraph, and the district attorney didn't want anything to do with that, said he didn't trust the polygraph test.
Boy, you're saying you're what was your job at the time?
I was a correctional officer.
And you were interviewing these people or their prisoners?
The inmates. It was a juvenile boot camp facility.
Okay, and they said they were men, they were boys?
That's correct.
And they did this in order to what? Make themselves victims? Did they get out as a result?
Actually, not even a month into the investigation, they mysteriously disappeared, were released, and the district attorney said that he could not find them to re-interview them or anything. Yes, they got out.
Wait a minute. But they went forward with the case against you anyway?
They went forward with it anyway.
Oh, my God. We're living in the ex-Soviet Union. And the sexual angle is the hook that the psychotics use. Prosecutors, cops, detectives, you name it, looking to make a career for themselves are destroying lives across America. I allege that there's an epidemic of this in America, and it's under the surface. And I believe that the more stories like this that are told the less likely these people are going to be able to get away with it. So how did this end? I hope that you were found innocent.
A year later, no, I was not granted innocent. I was just not found guilty. They dropped the case a year later, thousands of dollars of my own money invested, and I was not able to testify or even defend myself against the accusers. The state just decided to drop it. So I still had an arrest record, even though I did not have a conviction.
So your life was ruined. In other words, you have a mark against you, even though you were found not guilty.
That's the catch. I wasn't found guilty, and I wasn't found not guilty.
What the lawyer was saying earlier, is that if a person is simply a blue-collar person and working for a salary, they can never exonerate themselves, no matter what.
Exactly right.
The system runs you over like a steamroller.
My name was plastered all over the media, my picture, and when I went to my expungement hearing, I had nothing to fight with because I was never found guilty or innocent. And
so it's like living in the Soviet Union or during the Salem witch trials. It's identical to the Salem witch trials. And here it is, a woman who was now caught with paranoia and injustice by an evil, corrupt system. You lost your job. What did you have to do then?
I went to another hearing fighting for at least the right to defend myself. And the district attorney got up on the stand on my behalf and stated that he felt mistakes were made. And that's where it ended. And I do not. Apparently, they cleared my arrest record after that.
But did you get a job back? Did you get your job back?
Oh, no. Not that job. No.
But did you get a job in another state?
No, sir. I quit that career entirely.
Why can't you bring a lawsuit against the department that did this to you?
Because they are an independent contracted company that went bankrupt. And I could not.
Oh, my God. They were a private jail.
Right.
A private jail that went bankrupt, so there are no assets.
Absolutely correct. And I could not sue the district attorney, and I could not sue the juveniles because the juveniles have nothing anyway for me to recover or recoup. So I was just out thousands and thousands of dollars, and my name ruined, and my career
isn't
gone.
That horrible? Well, I'm amazing. The story you just told, Rachel, is rather an anomaly in the world of false accusation, because as we have heard from a lawyer in Washington, D.C., a good percentage, if not most of those falsely accused are white males, number one. And number two, they can't defend themselves if they have no money. My heart goes out to you. What else can we say? But there's a woman out there falsely accused. There's a caller now from the other side of America, Portland, Oregon. Ronald, what's your story? Go ahead, please.
Let me pick up where your last caller left off. I went through a 5-day jury trial on false accusations from an ex-spouse over a child custody issue that was beyond horrendous. But after being found not guilty and even polling jurors who asked, you know, why were we even here, I sought to sue the city's prosecutor's office for malicious prosecution. I found out that because of the governor had decided that the cities were in trouble financially, they couldn't be sued. So I was denied the opportunity to sue when they knew for fact, they had plenty of facts that there was nothing there. And I found out the most horrendous part of this whole thing, and I think it goes to the core of all of these stories. The federal government gives matching money to the cities and counties for any sexual harassment prosecutions that they do. And so they inflate the bills.
Oh, wait a minute. You're kidding me. The federal government encourages these lawsuits? And so therefore, it's like giving traffic tickets in speeding tickets when you're not speeding because there's money in it for the cities?
You got it.
Oh, my God. I do believe it. I believe anything you tell me about the federal government. This is probably part of some federal act passed by, the Kennedy era? Or Senator Schumer and Feinstein? I think I know which one you're talking about. Was this the bill passed by Schumer and Feinstein?
It was Schumer and Feinstein, but let me tell you where it's being used the most horrendously. These prosecutions, for example, the people with the kids in the social welfare stuff where these kids have made accusations against parents,
in Oregon and in Washington, they were going after these people, taxi cab drivers driving down the street. Some kid accuses them of sexually harassing him. The prosecutor, even when there's no evidence at all, totally vaporous, people went to jail. They continued these prosecutions because they were getting matching money. They couldn't stop.
My God. So in other words, the prosecutor knows the guy is innocent, but because there's matching federal money, it pays his salary to keep the case alive?
And the city needs it for the money and the investigators.
Oh, my God. Look at this nightmare that Schumer and Feinstein created. What is the name of the bill that they passed? It was like the Women's Safety Act or something. Wasn't it like that?
It says something about sexual and domestic safety and protection or whatever.
Right. Isn't that nice, liberalism? The road to hell is paved with good intentions, is it not? Except when it comes to one of their own. Ronald, that's an eye-opener. Thank you for that call. That's an amazing call. That's not something I'm going to forget too soon. In fact, I'm going to investigate it for tomorrow. And Beowulf, this is our job for tonight and tomorrow. We've got to investigate if what this man just said happens to be true. If it is true, we have to make certain that the federal government stops funding prosecutors to continue cases that are found that are simply based upon hot air in order to keep the prosecutor's job alive. Boston, Frank, you're on the Savage Nation. Tell us your story.
Michael, you're the best. Oh, my God. I had an ex that called on me because I was leaving her, and her girlfriend suggested that she call and say that I hit her. And then right after that, I was involved with another relationship. The girl had a few drinks in her and called on me twice, so I ended up spending three nights in a jail cell and having to go to court three times. And then after she was going to do it again, the police finally said, you better stop that to her, or we're going to bring you to court. But meanwhile, I have three things that come up on my record. They say dismissed, but when I went for a job, they come up as dismissed. Very embarrassing.
So in other words, males are now being targeted as during the Salem witch trials, based purely on fiction in most cases. Paranoia and injustice has not left the American judicial system. In fact, paranoia and injustice are now the norm in the judicial system, especially with regard to these false accusations of rape or molestation, in your estimation, correct?
Absolutely, sir. In fact, what I do now is I work for myself because, like I say, when I went to get Corey checked, in fact, one of the employees asked me, what's this dismissal about? And, you would think you don't even have to ask about a dismissal.
Right. In other words, the record was not really expunged. You carry it around for the rest of your life, the false accusation.
Absolutely. How do we...
There's an article in this afternoon's New York Post that I caught. Some cops were accused of raping a fashion executive. They were on trial for their lives and their careers for months and months and months. They were found not guilty of rape by a jury. Yet the newspaper, the salacious New York Post, has the nerve to publish a letter by the false accuser. Remember, the cops were found innocent. Marino was found innocent before a jury. Yet the woman who said the cops raped her has been able to publish a long letter about they raped her and her heart's broken and blah, blah, blah. Now, why would Murdoch permit this to go on in his newspaper?
I don't know. Why is this happening, and why aren't we jumping on this?
Because listen to what Murdoch let this woman publish after the cops, who were falsely accused, found innocent of rape. She's let to publish a letter that says, I know that in a criminal trial, a verdict of not guilty does not necessarily mean the defendants were found innocent. But I'm devastated and disappointed by the jury's decision. And then she goes on with a long list and a litany about rape and about the accusations all over again. So the cops who have falsely accused Kenneth Marino and his partner are again being accused of rape. Can you believe this?
I can't believe it. Michael, 20 years of counseling, not a scratch on my record. I have a good conduct medal from the Air Force. None of that was being brought up. Only these accusations, which were totally false. And like I say, they slapped her wrist and said, now, if it happens again, we're taking you to court. Meanwhile,
well, you see, I believe that anybody who falsely accuses anyone and is found guilty of that false accusation should have to face the same penalty as those she is accused of. I said this going back to the Durham rape case. The Durham dirtbag made it all up. We knew she made it all up. I'm the only one who defended them from the beginning. Instead of, oh, she walked away from it. She was a con artist from day one. Why did she not face a penalty, the penalty of going to face the same charges herself and the same penalty? Why? Because the system is biased against the male. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The New York Post is reaching a new level of degeneracy. Second banker and hotel sex bust. I mean, they're reporting the story about the 74-year-old former chairman of Egypt's Bank of Alexandria as though he did the crime. They're writing the story as though it's a cheap novel. He summoned the 44-year-old woman to his room, and then the elderly banker grabbed her breasts and began kissing her on the lips and neck, and she bravely stood up to him, the source said. And then he asked the woman for a phone number, and the quick-thinking maid gave him a fake number. Could you, I mean, the whole thing is just garbage. Garbage. We're back to the Salem witch trials. We're back to the age of paranoia and injustice. We're back to your guilty until proven innocent. And here we are talking about all of these people falsely accused today on the Savage Nation. And we've gotten calls from around the country on people falsely accused, and you hear what a nightmare it is, and you hear also how easy it is for a woman to accuse a man of such a crime with virtually no ramifications if she's inventing the whole thing. Now, why is this happening? It goes back to the feminists, the radical anti-male feminists. It goes back to laws passed by Schumer and Feinstein, to their eternal shame, which we just learned on the Savage Nation, reward prosecutors for pursuing cases which they know are false because there is federal money to be had. No matter how long they keep the case alive, they get federal money, matching funds. So even if they're found innocent, they keep the case alive, we learned, in order to keep collecting federal matching funds. Can you believe what came out today on the show? Now, I've never been accused of such a crime, thank God. I religiously avoid putting myself in such a situation, religiously avoid. I've said on this show 1,000 times, the world is so sick that although I have an instinct to help people, I'm a blood type O, a universal donor, I like to help people. If I saw a child in the street crying, I would not reach out and pick that child up. If I'm walking in a mall, I avoid children, I won't even go near them. I'm afraid to have a child run near me. That's how crazy the society has become. And here I am facing false accusations from an entire government that is weighing on me, tearing me apart. I feel like the Lilliputians in England are killing me, but I can't stop fighting them. And I want to again say, I'm not a victim. I'm not claiming I'm a victim. But if you want to help, you can donate through the Savage Legal Fund by going to michaelsavage.com. We put a new link up. Or you can go to send checks to the Michael Savage Legal Fund, 110 Pacific Avenue, Box 135, San Francisco 94111. It's all on the internet. I want to go back to what we have become in this country under the past few administrations, not just Obama. You know, Washington, General Washington, was crossing the Delaware during the very, very early phases of the Revolution. Do you know that his boat almost capsized? And do you know that if his boat had capsized, it would have allowed the British to suppress the Revolution in America and would have suppressed the creation of the United States of America? We would have remained a colony. We would have remained subjects, not citizens. We now have a government of Obama that wants the British model in the United States of America. Freedom of the press, not to Obama. Biden locks the press out. Obama rides around in bulletproof limousines. There are more limos now than ever. Have we become subjects, not citizens, under Barack Hussein Obama? You betcha. You betcha. We are citizens, not subjects.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
In the news, Miami was a war zone during Urban Weekend. Urban is a code word. You understand that. Shots were fired. Guns went off. Cops were fired. Shot upon. Rib Festival in Rochester Beach turns rowdy. Urban Melee in Charlotte. Unruly urban crowd shuts down Nashville Water Park. Rahm Emanuel shuts down a packed Chicago beach because of heat. Dozens of gangbangers on the beach. And finally, teen gangs unleashed on Boston Beach. Ah, isn't it wonderful? Freedom is so free. And what is Obama doing at this time? Golfing over the weekend. Obama cracks down on civil rights abuses by big city police departments. In other words, the police departments who actually do their jobs are now being investigated by none other than Barack Hussein Obama and his attorney general. Congress mulls cuts to food stamps program. Amid record number of recipients, up 39% since Obama took office. 39% more people on food stamps since Obama took office. And in the Senate's 100 members spend $40 million a year for offices nationwide. Palin, who I affectionately call You Betcha, is going to visit the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island. That's interesting. Reporters complain they feel like paparazzi when they follow Sarah Palin. Well, what do you think they are? What have they become? Speaking of which, radiation from cell phones can cause cancer in the same category as lead, engine exhaust, and chloroform. Well, I guess if you're going to use a cell phone, you stop inhaling engine exhaust, or you don't eat lead, or you don't put chloroform on your nose, or what are they talking about? How about just talking less? Department of Homeland Security, I mean the DNC, Department of Nasty, what's DNC? Department of Nasty Crabs, DNC chair, Department of Nasty Crabs, say that Republicans believe illegal immigrants are committing a crime. Duh. Yeah, Biden closed out the press. Obama's decision to play golf on Memorial Day disrespectful, says a newspaper. Shocking. What else is in the news? Two Iraqis in Kentucky charged with terrorism. Iraqis. Two Iraqis. Let's see what their names are. Let's see. They give their names? Ah, here we are. Wa'ad Ramadan Alawan and Mohammed Sharif Hamadai. Two Iraqis living in Kentucky. I didn't think that they were John Smith. Have been charged with building roadside bombs when they lived in Iraq that targeted U.S. soldiers. And with trying to provide weapons to al-Qaeda fighters in Iraq once they got into the United States. How'd they get in the United States? Why? Why don't you ask the liberals? They believe in amnesty and asylum. It's hopeless. It's pathetic. I don't know if this country can survive liberalism, but we'll keep trying on a daily basis. Sarah Palin causes stir at Rolling Thunder. Wiener hires lawyer after Twitter incident. That's the radical liberal Anthony Wiener, who apparently sent a picture of his underwear to a young lady somewhere in America. Claims he didn't do it, but he hired a lawyer. What do you need a lawyer for if he didn't do it? Well, who knows? Maybe he didn't do it. Maybe he is innocent. You never know. His website could have been hacked. After all, he is a hack as a politician. So why shouldn't we believe that his website was hacked? Not hacked, right? I mean, he's a hack, so why assume that he hasn't been hacked? On MichaelSavage.com, let's see what else we have for you in the news. San Francisco sheriff to shield and release illegal alien criminals. He spoke at the San Francisco Progressive Convention. Americans were not permitted. In case you missed it, read the great article, Obama's Assault on Conservative Speech, on the top right. Another powerless maid, I use the word powerless in quotes, accuses another rich banker. Yes, another one in another hotel. Another maid said he touched me inappropriately. He allegedly groped and gyrated against her. Okay.
Does anyone remember the Salem witch trials? We're reliving them. How about GOP's self-destruction derby, says Eugene Robinson. He's a good writer. Read it. He said, if Sarah Palin keeps pretending to run for the presidential nomination, people just might take her seriously. What else is in the news? Congress moves to repatriate remains of SEALs who fought Barbary pirates. They weren't called SEALs then. They were the Navy commandos who fought Muslims then. I mean terrorists or something. It's true all the terrorists were Muslims, but you can't say terrorist and Muslim in the same sentence for fear you might be banned in Boston. Radio hosts slammed for ignoring UK ban on Michael Savage. Really? Radio hosts banned? No. Slammed? No. Nothing. What have we done, says the London Telegraph. Tunisia fears Islamic tyranny from Arab Spring. Tell that to Obama. What else is on my website? Well, let's go to the bottom. Some of them I can't even read. They're so sad. Oh, condom merchant penalized. The man is selling condoms with the name Obama on them, and he's getting arrested every time he does. And yet, he says the First Amendment protects him. Gangsters take over South Beach, shoot cops during Urban Weekend. U.S. military vets give Obama lower marks. No kidding. We mean those who actually fight, rather than the deadbeats who do nothing. Fake lawyer falsifies papers for over 3,000 illegal immigrants. How do you like that? Is there any more news that you don't want to hear about? How about this one? One last dose of reality for those of you who think all is well in the world. Chavez schemes with China to launch joint spy satellite. Venezuela and China will develop an observation satellite to be built in Asia and launched from South America in 2012, according to Venezuela's science and technology minister. Yeah, we don't call a science and technology minister in Venezuela. We call him a science and technology minister. No, all is not very well under Obama. Nope, absolutely not. Trickle up poverty, anyone? All this and more on MichaelSavage.com. Right now, I have a little time. One last call. Quick, Pittsburgh, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm calling you about your dental implants.
Yes.
I lived in Japan for 15 years back in the Way day. The Japanese were leaders in dental implant, and that's why I'm a big fan of them. I happen to have four.
The
youngest one is 15 years old. When your surgeon talked to you, did he offer you a pig bone graft?
No. In fact, I specifically said I wanted plastic. I did not want a human cadaver bone, but that's what I got. But thus far, I have not been transformed into a communist or into anything else from the DNA of the human bone, because I suspect it was sterilized.
That the typical hog... ground up skull bone will graft with human bone. I have implants, Doctor.
So, in other words, if you use a pig bone implant, it's considered very good because it's compatible with human DNA. That's very nice.
Well,
all your life you could avoid pork, and then you could put in an implant and wind up walking around with Porky Pig in your head.
My head, pig bone.
Do you feel any different because you have pig bone in your head? Has anything changed? Do you have a craving for slop? Do you like to roll in the mud? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Now I'm going to take some lifestyle calls, okay? New York, WOR, Mazal. Mazal, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm not sure if I should continue my studies with a PhD or perhaps go into publishing or writing.
Question, what's your field? What is your field of endeavor?
Literature, English.
Okay, what do you have right now, a master's?
Master's.
And you want to get a PhD. Have you started your studies yet?
No, I took a couple of courses, but they're not applicable to a PhD.
Let me explain something. A PhD is a research degree. That's number one. It's going to take you 3 to 5 years. Is that correct?
Probably.
Maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to get at the end of the 5 years? Let's say you get that PhD. You're going to have to apply for a teaching position in an English department, correct?
Right.
There are no jobs. They're dismissing people, unfortunately. And so, therefore, although you have a scholar's, inclinations, in the real world, there's no room for scholars in America anymore. It's like the buggy whip. I mean, where's room for scholars in America today?
I don't know.
So that, let me finish. You could go into publishing, which is also a very, very risky road, incidentally. I mean, unless, have you looked at the jobs available in publishing right now?
I do not receive any responses, and I published my own book, The Silence of Stern. It's very difficult just to have people respond.
Correct. Let me explain something. Publishing, the publishing industry is contracting rapidly. You had major bankruptcies last year of bookstore chains, which had ramifications into the bottom line of publishers who got stiffed for money that was owed by, I believe, what was it, the Borders chain that went bankrupt? I wouldn't look in the publishing industry for a position today. It's not 1960 where there was an unlimited future. So, yes, you're an intelligent young woman. You love literature. You probably eat, drink, and sleep ideas and words, correct?
You've got it.
Okay, so you're asking how can you make a living and enjoy your life as well and have your intellect engaged? That's the toughest question on earth. Well, there's no tougher question, I mean, other than life and death questions, but there's almost no tougher question to answer than that because I have no answer for you. In other words, I've told you both choices are bad, and I'm reluctant to give you that answer, but I'm telling you, having looked forward and backward in my own life, there are things I would have done a little differently. For me, maybe it's worked out in some ways and not in others. But the life of the scholar, fraught with peril and a life of poverty, your entire life is going to be begging and working for people who are basically your intellectual inferior your whole life, who got appointed for reasons other than their scholarship, no doubt based upon either their race or their immigration status, who are going to wind up being your boss telling you that they're better than you are with a lower degree. So do you want to go down that road? No. So then you say publishing. You're going to start like they used to start in the 60s in the mailroom and think you're going to wind up as a publisher? It's not going to happen anymore. The chances of it happening are very, very dim. So where does that leave you now? Let's say both choices are not valid. What would you do then?
Continue teaching in a local high school, I guess.
Well, let me say something. Life could be worse than teaching in a local high school. That's if there's a job in a local high school. You know, there are many people who are, let us say, given towards the arts, but there's no road towards success in the arts in terms of a living, let's put it that way. And if you don't have a private family fortune to rely upon, you'll have to do what thousands, if not tens of thousands of other people with such inclinations have done in the past. You teach, or if they were musicians, they gave music lessons when they really didn't want to teach kids how to play the piano, but they had to do it. And on the side, you maintain your interest, which becomes your avocation until it can become your vocation. I know it's a terrible dose of reality that I'm throwing your way, and it's probably very depressing to listen to this, but I think I'm doing you a favor at the end of the day. Don't waste your time with a PhD,
Thank you. Number one.
And number two, go get a teaching job if you can, and then see what your options are. That's all. Indiana Gary, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, being on your program the past few times, I've made many predictions. I wanted to stand correct in a few of them. On January 11th, big mudslides happened in Brazil. On 2/11, Mubarak stepped down in Egypt, caused a ruckus at the Middle East crisis that spread from Bahrain to Libya. On 3/11, happened in Japan. Everyone knows the downfall of that. On 4/11, the French and the UN got themselves mixed up in the Ivory Coast and took a president, basically took him out and put an IMF puppet in his place. And on 5/11, we had a couple earthquakes in Spain that basically caused a lot of damage. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is you're talking about the IMF banker who got basically sold down the river, correct?
Well, either he raped her or didn't, but it happened on what date?
It happened on the 14th. But here's the interesting part. I always talked about big events happen on the 11th and the 29th because the powers that be always want to use the most emotional energy possible to exploit something.
All right, let's cut to the chase. So what is this connect? It didn't happen on May 11th, so where's the numerology connection?
He's going to court on 5/20/2011. Let's do the math together. 5/20/211 adds up to 111. You see my point? You're talking about the Muslim...
Well, I mean, the way you do numerology is very intriguing, but I don't necessarily buy it. What is your basic allegation here? What are you suspecting?
My suspicions are this in this certain matter. I believe he was set up to basically get people riled up. Let me explain what I mean by that. I told you the court date is going to be on an 11-day. You said this guy basically looks like Bernie Madoff. So that got me to thinking. I started talking about Bernie Madoff a while.
Well, wait, let's not go on and on about it. I mean, let's stick to the facts. We don't know whether he's innocent or guilty. We know that the woman, now it turns out, is that she's a devout Muslim. That starts to change the picture slightly, doesn't it?
Of course, and the fact that they're exploiting this on the 11th, remember, the Iranian Revolution happened on 2/11. They're always doing it on 11 days. The reason I brought up Bernie Madoff was he was arrested on the 11th. He pleaded guilty to 11 federal felonies. He was sentenced to jail on the 29th. 2 + 9 = 11. There's a pattern.
All right, so, okay, let's cut to the chase again. What are you saying? Give me a prediction in 30 seconds or less.
My prediction is this. This guy will fry for this.
He will fry.
In the court of public opinion, he is done. He will.
No, he's done in the court of public opinion. But what if his lawyer pleads consensual sex for money, and that the woman then turned it on him, or she was robbing something, and you know, just because she wears a headscarf doesn't mean she's holy.
Oh no, of course not. But you know what that means. And Kabul, they will riot. And Iran.
Yes, absolutely. The minute it comes out that she's a Muslim, there's going to be riots in Pakistan and in Afghanistan and in Libya and in Morocco and in Egypt. It's going to rock the world when it comes out that she is a Muslim. There's no question about it.
And Dr. Savage, since we're speaking of Pakistan, I want you to follow up on one thing. Please do this. The Chinese and the Pakistanis signed a deal to build roads between those two nations. The Chinese have 200 million man army. They had no way to get them into the Middle East. They will now through Pakistan, our supposed friend.
Very worrisome. Very worrisome indeed. I'm more concerned with what I'm going to have for dinner. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com.
Savage.
We have with us Michael Cutler. He's a former INS senior agent who has testified many times in front of Congress about the pathetic state of our border security and the implications of a failed immigration policy. He's here on the Savage Nation to tell us how the administration is making it easier for illegals to gain access to this great nation. Michael Cutler, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to join you.
Well, how has the administration made it easier for illegal aliens to gain entry into the United States?
Well, there's a number of issues that we have to really look at. One of them is the fact that the border itself is certainly not secure. I know that the president has made these speeches and made fun of any American who really thinks that borders count. But in point of fact, our border almost only exists on maps, not in the real world, whether we're talking about the Canadian border, the southern border. And, you know, the real proof in the pudding, as they say, is in the tasting. Well, the issue about how many arrests are made or how many arrests aren't made, the way that Janet Napolitano, the head of what I call the Department of Homeland Surrender, likes to play with those numbers, really is not indicative of border security. For me, the proof here is whether or not the bad guys are still getting into the United States. The proof is whether or not narcotics are still getting into the United States that are being peddled across our country by members of these drug cartels from Mexico and other countries. And we all know that there's no shortage of narcotics on the streets of the towns and cities across this great nation. So if the drugs are getting through and the criminal aliens are getting through and all other sorts of illegal aliens are managing to make their way across the border one way or the other and then head for cities and towns across this country, you are not going to convince me or any other reasonable person that we have secure borders. I hope I make sense to you.
Well, do you agree with me that our border security is getting worse under Obama and it's going to get worse yet before it gets better?
Well, my fear is how much worse gets to be. If you look at what is now happening in Mexico, where there have been, I believe, over 35,000 Mexicans who have been slaughtered just since Felipe Calderon, the current president of Mexico, took office. When you look at how in the United States gang members, you know, like to mark their territory with graffiti, in Mexico the cartel members mark their territory by chopping up human bodies and hanging them off of bridges and other prominent places to send a clear message to their would-be adversaries or law enforcement or other gangs and so forth. Is that what we're expecting to see in America? Will it then be okay for the government to say, you know, we have to step in? You know, how much more crazy stuff has to happen in Mexico and how much more crazy stuff has to happen in the United States before the politicians finally do what the American people are demanding of them? You know, this isn't a conservative issue. The open borders crowd, the people that make a ton of money off of this illegal immigration issue, want profit at any cost, whether it's the travel and hospitality industries, whether it's the immigration lawyers, whether it's the advocacy groups. You know, they're looking for money and power. The fact that the politicians are acceding to the demands of these people is where the outrage is. Well, let me give you an example. There's a program called the Visa Waiver Program, and it sometimes gets, I guess, a little bit difficult for folks because immigration is always seen as a border issue. And I like to say that any state that has an international airport or a seaport is also a border state. And, of course, when people do run the physical land borders, they head for the rest of the country anyway. So immigration isn't just a border state issue. But it's now estimated that there's anywhere from 4.5 to 10 million visa violators in the United States. Now, what a visa violator is an alien who has entered the United States with the authority, with the permission of our government, because they have entered at a port of entry, were inspected, and told, okay, you can go to your destination. For the first 4 years of my career, in fact, I started out as an immigration inspector assigned to Kennedy Airport. And these folks are told that they cannot work if they're here on a tourist visa, or must work if they were admitted under a certain temporary work visa, or they're supposed to attend a school, and so forth. It's basically a contractual situation that exists between the alien and our government in admitting them into our country. We will let you in provided you meet the standards that we've established for you. It's kind of like a bouncer at a bar. You know, as long as you behave yourself, you're welcome to enjoy the company and the music and then have a drink. When you get out of hand, we're going to remove you. Well, that's the job of immigration. Well, right now, there are so many people in our country who either overstay, work when they're not supposed to, fail to show up for jobs they were admitted to show up for, or fail to attend the schools they were admitted to attend, that we don't even know how many are here. And all that immigration has now dedicated to looking for these visa violators is fewer than 300 agents for the whole country searching for millions of aliens who have violated the terms of their admission into the United States. And now we have a bill that is being proposed called the Visa Security Act. And it sounds real good. You know, if you come to 19 different countries to get a visa, well, we have consulates or embassies, then we're going to put those applications under additional scrutiny. But if you go to the other consulates in other countries, it's business as usual. And then there's other provisions that I agree with. You know, the DHS will have the right to deny a visa. State Department will have to play second fiddle to DHS because we recognize national security implications. But the idea that there's a bill before Congress right now, both sides of the aisle, and rather both houses of Congress, not both sides of the aisle, both houses, the Senate and the House, are taking this up. Well, we're limiting it to 19 countries. It's crazy. This is about creating the illusion of security that doesn't match reality. You know, whenever we get in a car, Mike, we turn on the radio usually to listen to the traffic report so we know which highway we should take, which highway we should not take, what bridge we should take, what bridge to avoid, where's the traffic, where's radar, and so forth. By laying out in a law which embassies, which consulates will put visa applications under greater scrutiny is nutty. If you're a terrorist or a bad guy, all you have to know is, gee whiz, they're going to scrutinize my application in England but not in France, so I'll go to France for my visa. They'll scrutinize the application perhaps in Germany but not Switzerland, so I'll go to Switzerland. You know, this kind of stuff has got to stop. You know, today's Memorial Day, or yesterday's Memorial Day, we've been celebrating or actually commemorating the sacrifices by our men and women in the military, not just today, and there's certainly so many great Americans out there defending us and our country today, but this goes back to the founding of the nation. How can we send young men and women in harm's way where so many of them may come back injured, emotionally, physically, or both, or may not come home at all, and at the same time, not take the most common sense steps. Secure our nation's borders. Prevent the entry, not of everybody, but of those people whose presence in our country poses a threat or a problem for the country or our citizens. You know, that's really what the immigration laws are about. The immigration laws are completely blind about color, race, or religion. The immigration laws, if you check them out, are purely about keeping out aliens whose presence would be harmful or dangerous. And in fact, if you go to my website, it's michaelcutler.net, C-U-T-L-E-R, michaelcutler.net, where I also write for a wonderful organization called CAPS, Californians for Population Stabilization, and their website also posts many of my writings, and that's capsweb.org. You'll see that I've enumerated the categories of aliens that the immigration laws are supposed to keep out of the United States, or if they're discovered here, then we need to remove them from our country so that they don't do harm to us. How is this either a conservative or a liberal issue? See, this is just common sense. This is an American issue. And, you know, Memorial Day is an American holiday. We don't associate Memorial Day with the Democrats or the Republicans. We see it as a holiday for all Americans. The need for border security, the need for creating an immigration system that not only protects Americans, but also honors the countless millions of lawful immigrants who, since the founding of this nation, built this country along with their descendants by following the law, by adhering to the way that things are supposed to be done. This isn't about one party or the other, folks. This is purely about doing what's in the best interests of our country and of our citizens. And that's where the American people really need to come in. We need to get our voices heard. You know, when we go to restaurants, we're very specific about the food that we want to eat, the way we want it prepared. I really think, Mike, that the trick here is that every American needs to develop a personal relationship with the politicians who purport to represent them on all levels of government, to get their voices heard, to make their demands and their concerns known. Because I think that the biggest problem we have faced is the apathy of the American people. I think that if we got our voices out there in a consistent, reasonable, fact-driven manner, the politicians would finally, for once and for all, be compelled to take the appropriate actions.
Michael Cutler, thanks for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on the program. My name again is Michael Cutler. My website is michaelcutler.net. That's one word, michaelcutler.net. Or please go to CAPSWeb, C-A-P-S, capsweb.org. They're a great organization, and while they're from California, as we have seen, this problem isn't limited to California, folks. It impacts every one of the 50 states of this great nation. So please visit their website or my website, michaelcutler.net. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for having me, Mike.
This is The Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Even in the mood to do this. I mean, we played the thing. I'm in a strange mood. Who knows? I don't know what it is. Maybe the weather. This. And I don't know. You want me to be a lifestyle coach now? Or do you want me to talk about the perp or the perv or the victim, the this, the that? Everywhere I go, it's the same thing. Even the fishmonger that I go to, the fish was no good yesterday. I had the worst cooking experience of... Do you want to hear this or not? I normally like to... I go into... No one's interested in the next man's problems. I cooked a fish at home last night. I didn't even like it. And I smelled the fish like my aunt taught me in the fish store. I learned 50, 40 years ago when she'd go in the butcher shop and look at the meat because she didn't trust him then. Now, believe me, she you know, the butcher knew her, but he cheated her anyway. She went into a freezer in August in a fur coat to make sure he wasn't giving a bad meat. So I learned then and there not to trust the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. And so now I buy a piece of fish and I smell it in the store. I knew it was not fresh. I knew it wasn't sour. I wouldn't have bought it. So he said, fresh today. I said, yeah, all right, it's 2 days old. Because I know fishermen, they tell you the freshest fish is 2 days old. That's number two. Unless you're buying it off the boat, and even there it's 2 days old. How old do you think fish is on a boat? So already it's 4 days old. This smelled already probably like Gendelman's underwear, like 5 days. I don't know, whatever. I tried a new recipe. I tried oven-baked. It was horrible. I'm not an oven baker. You know why I don't like using an oven for cooking? You want to hear why? It's not fast enough. You see, it's interesting about cooking. I may do a cooking show and leave politics behind because I'll tell you the truth. There's all you can see the whole world in a saute pan. Why do I like a sauteed meal better? Because it's faster. Okay, cooks in front of you. An oven, you're looking in every 2 minutes through the glass. Every 2 minutes looking. Is it cooking? Is it not cooking? Is it boiling? Is it not boiling? Do I think it's cooking? How do you know if it's cooked through an oven? Who has the time to sit and wait? It's from another era, an oven. It's when you had nothing to do but drink wine and look in a hot oven. I can make fish in 4 minutes. The guy taught me how to do it. 3 minutes on one side, flip it, 2 minutes on the other. It's over. It's crispy. It's golden. That's the end of the fish. It took me 30 years to learn how to saute a fish properly. And I'm more excited about talking about how to cook a fish than I am about the Frenchman who was allegedly whatever he did. But I'm going to take some life coach questions now. Let's go to Florida. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. Bob, what's on your mind?
Savage, I love trickle up poverty. Okay, I got this issue. I'm 30 years old. I've been doing my job for 5 years, and I don't make much money. I can't seem to move up in the position. I have a master's degree. I have 5 years experience, yet everybody in this position above me gets hired on by my Hispanic female boss. And they don't even have so much as a bachelor's degree. Well, I have a master's. They don't have any experience.
All right, hold on. So there's discrimination going on in your company is what you're hinting at. Is that correct?
I don't know if it is, because some white people do move up, but you're usually a minority. Some Jewish people move up, sometimes people that have different situations. So I don't know if it's outright racist.
Well, let's stop for a minute. Do they have better educations or equal educations to you? And let's start with the basics. The people who are moving ahead of you, do they have equal or better experience and equal or better education?
No.
Okay, hold on. Do they perform better somehow at the job itself? Is it a business related to sales?
No, it isn't. But 90% of my employees I work with love my job. They respect me. They say I do a great job. So I know.
So let me ask you, make believe I'm an arbitrator. What are the parameters that are being used to judge whether an individual should be promoted?
I would say whether or not they can do their job punctually and ethically and do it sufficiently.
Than those being promoted above you?
Absolutely, especially ethically. And just with knowledge overall. I've been there 5 years. They're hiring people outside of the area that have no experience and nowhere near my education.
Hold on now. Are they paying them more?
Yes.
Okay, so this could be an employment discrimination case. It might be difficult to prove for the reason that you can't give me a very strict example of the parameters that are being used for hiring and promotion. I don't know what they are.
But basically, as long as you can do the job, and it's really about it, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you what I would do if I were in your place. If you got into a dead-end situation where you felt you were being picked on because you're a white guy and they're using racial minorities to push them ahead of you, let's say you just feel it but you can't prove it, it's time for you to move on. They're doing you a favor. Whether you know it or not, what they're saying to you is, if you can do better, go ahead and do it. And you know what? Often this is the kick in the behind we need to move on in life. Let's say you got that little promotion. You might be stuck there another 5 years. Whereas on the other hand, what if you can go out in your own time, legitimately find a better job where you could say, I'm better than everybody at work, and I want to move up to a more responsible position because I'm ready for it, and make 20% more money than you would there. Wouldn't you say that would be an opportunity that you'd want?
I would. And you know, Savage, I've saved my money. I have 20 grand in the bank. I have no family. I'm single, you know. And I got no dependents, and I'm in a perfect position. I'm just afraid to take that leap, and I don't know if I should.
Well, hold on now. Wait a minute. Is it permissible for you to look for another job while working here?
Yes.
I don't mean on their time, on your own time. Are you allowed to send out and go on the Internet, et cetera?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so why don't you do that and then decide? You don't have to decide now. Let me give everybody listening to this show a very important piece of advice that I learned when I went into radio, and I wasn't sure I was going to go into radio. I was a fairly successful corporate consultant at the time. I was making a reasonable living, enough to live on, taking care of the family. But I wanted something more in my life. What I did was I sent out the tape for radio to 400 and some odd stations. I mentioned this before. 5 to 7 stations said, you're great. Would you like to come work for the radio station? I didn't know what to do. I went and talked to a very brilliant old-time lawyer in Washington, D.C. He was one of the smartest men I ever met. And I said, I don't know what to do. Should I leave consulting and try radio? What if the radio doesn't pan out, then I lost my consulting jobs? He said, think of it as a horse race. Keep pushing all of the horses around the racetrack at the same time. He said, keep your consulting job. Take the radio job on a part-time basis until you find out if you're any good at it and if you really have skill for it and if they want you. And keep moving the horses around, and then you find out which horse wins. So you're not exactly in the same position. But since you don't have to give up your job in order to look for another one, what's wrong in looking for another one right now?
The trouble is, I've been looking online, and it's a big wash. You know, there's no personality these days. You can't go up and meet someone. They say, oh, you got to apply online. We can't meet with you. And I've been doing it for 2 years since I had my master's. And I know there's
so are you afraid that if you don't look around, you're going to get stuck here in this position forever?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Go with your instincts. Obviously, you have survival instincts, so you wouldn't be where you are and get a master's degree. You're an ambitious young guy, and you want to move on. You have no choice here other than to, you can't take it up with your boss or supervisor?
I can. I have. The thing is, I called them out on some crap that they were trying to throw at me, and I made the boss look bad. I did it in a civilized way. But
well, you see, now here's the problem. The minute you did that, she's now going to pick on you forever. There's nothing you could do now. You've already, the die is cast. She now sees you as an enemy. There's nothing you could do now to overcome what you've already done. And you did the right thing, but you should have calculated in advance that once you went over her head, you made her into an opponent now.
Savage.